friend. Let's have all the choir come to the choir loft, please. All the choir. Have all the choir come on up, get the choir start and service here in about 2 minutes. Take your hymnals, turn to number 417. Let's stand together and we'll sing My Burdens Roll Away. 417. Sing together now. I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took Him at His word, then at once all my burdens rolled away, rolled away. since my burden drove away. I remember when my burden drove away, that I feared would never leave night or day. Jesus showed to me the law, so I left them at the cross. When my burden drove away, drove away. That last verse says, I'm singing since my burdens rolled away. So everybody sing out on the wires. I'm singing since my burdens rolled away. There's a song within my heart night and day. I am living for my King, and the joy of shall and sing. Hallelujah, all my burdens rolled away.
His blessing upon the service. So good to see you here today. We've got some visitors here and some folks that have been out for some time, but we still have some. Brother John James is still in Chicago, should be back sometime maybe next week. But I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and let's pray together. Father, what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. Lord, we're so grateful for the time we were able to spend with our family and friends this week in Thanksgiving. But Lord, this is the day, the Sunday after, but help us to still be thankful for all You've done for us. I'm thankful that You saved me. I'm thankful that You died on the cross for my sins. I'm thankful that I could get up this morning and have the health to get dressed and come to the house of God. And I'm thankful for everyone that's come here this morning. And God, I pray that You'll bless the remainder of the service, bless the choir, the special music. Of course, Brother Marilyn, as he brings the message this morning, we so enjoyed hearing from his wife in her time as a prisoner of war in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in World War II as a young child and a young adult. God, I appreciate so much her desire to get the gospel out through her testimony. And we certainly do pray that You'll continue to bless them as they plant churches and help to plant churches in the Canadian nation. And God, we're thankful for everyone that's made it this way. Blessed today that someone might come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The choir is singing another song.
Thank you. thank the choir. Well, we're going to give them a chance to come down and sit with you. So let's stand. We're going to meet our visitors in just a moment. Let's stand and have a little time of fellowship together.
Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being in the service today, and we're so glad to have all of you here with us. Good to have some visitors and some of our folks back. I see Claudette back there. She spent the week with her family up in Greenville area and for Thanksgiving. Glad she got home safely. And Ms. Lyles, good to see Ms. Lyles back with us. I appreciate her being here. And then let's see, Sister Dunlap's daughter's here from North Greenville College on break. And so she's here, Sarah. We're glad to have her back with us. And then Miss Poland brought a neighbor from the Waterford, Miss Becker. And we're glad to have Miss Becker here with us today. So good to see you. And then good to see Brother Carl and his family. He got sick last week and been sick all week long. But they pumped him out and got him picked up. And Laura Lee gave him some of that good zucchini bread. I'll tell you what's true. I'm going to go visit them more often. I went to visit him last week. He gave me some zucchini. I'm telling you, best I ever had. Does that get any more? No? Oh, I ate that. Wow. First time he ever said no. You had some for Steve. I was going to get his, but he wasn't with me that night, but I thought I better not. But we're glad that Brother Carl's feeling better. God bless you. Glad to see you here with us. And then Ms. Raven here. And then, of course, and Kristen over here. I didn't get a chance to speak to her, but she's been here before. But we're glad to have you with us today, Kristen. Amen. All right, I think that's everybody. I think got everybody covered here. A couple things I want to mention real quickly. Over here on the table, a couple things. Brother and Sister Horton have some of their books and some of the pictures, as many of you know, you weren't here for Sunday school. Brother and Sister Horton are church planners. They've been in the mission field on the mission for 50 years together. Now, Ms. Horton's been on the mission field since she was born and was born in China. Is that right? I want to make sure I tell that right. In Nebraska. That's a long way from China. But then went to China. Okay. I'll get it right. And anyway, so they've been together with the Macedonian Baptist Mission for over 50 years. Right now, their main place of work is in Canada, in our northern neighbor. And so we're glad to have them. Brother Horton will be preaching for us this morning. Ms. Horton was a prisoner of war during World War II in a Japanese prison camp when they invaded China and took over China. And we heard from her this morning the story of her being there. We appreciate so much her being willing to share that with everyone, and how that God is faithful and God does care. After all, the question during all that, does God care? And some of us have had some things that we thought were pretty major, but none of us have been prisoners of war. And so in all of that, though, I'm glad that God does care. And so we so enjoyed her in Sunday school this morning. Also on the table is a Christmas tree, as you see. That Sister Susan put that together. That is for the Tabernacle Children's Home. You remember they were with us a few weeks ago. They have 35 children in the children's home this year, boys and girls. Well, what she's done, it says here, as part of our missions giving, we want to buy gifts for the 35 children at the children's home. On the little giving tree, you'll find 35 names of children. The blue clip is for a boy, and the name is attached, and the pink clip is for a girl. It says, please tell Sister Susan the name of the child you pick. We want to make sure each child receives a gift. The tag you pick will have the child's name, birthday, and sizes. You can buy a gift for the child you have chosen, or you may give money to Sister Susan to purchase a gift for that child. Please wrap all the gifts that you purchase and make sure to put the child's name clearly on the package. All gifts must be given to Sister Susan by December the 19th. I think that's a Wednesday. Is that right? By Wednesday night, the 19th, so they can be delivered in time for Christmas to the children's home. So there are 35 on there. Just if you'll just at least get one, and I hope everybody will do that and buy some Christmas gifts or a gift. Now, they have other churches involved as well, and so you do whatever the Lord leads you to do, but just say a gift for that child, either boy or girl, would be wonderful. I know they would appreciate it so very much. So just keep that in mind. And then on the prayer list, let's continue to pray for Sister Christy, still recovering from the hip surgery. I remember her, Margie Johnson. Brother Ed Coker had surgery on Thursday. They're going to put a stent in his neck, I think. Is that right? In the shoulder area. And so remember him. That'll be Thursday morning. So remember that. And then, of course, pray for the folks. I mentioned Brother John, who is still traveling. Good to see Ms. Ramona back with us. She's been out with migraines. And so we're glad that she's able to be back with us. And just kind of looking over here to check everything. I think that's all. So just keep that in mind. Don't forget, we will be back tonight at 5:30 for the evening service. I hope you'll come back tonight and be with us. Please don't let Sunday morning be your only trip to the house of God. Come every time the door is open. You'll be blessed, and God will bless you for it. All right, so be back tonight at 5:30. Come on, Brother Brian.
All right, let me give you a rundown of all the things going on around here over the next several weeks. Like the pastor said, be back here at 5:30. We will have choir practice today at 4:15. No separate ensemble practice, but just all the choir will be here at 4:15 to work on our Christmas cantata. That's coming along together real nicely, Brother Tim. So they're doing a good job. You want the speaking parts to meet that in at 4:30, like you have been for the folks involved in the drama portion of the cantata. So 4:30 back there for those folks, but if you're in the choir, 4:15, be on time so you can get working on those songs as soon as possible. This coming week on Saturday, we have a couple things going on. As you know, it's the first Sunday of December, and as such, it's a sewing Saturday, and we're doing something a little different this time, and everybody can be involved. There's a parade downtown, I forget the exact name of it, the Christmas Parade, Caroling Parade, something like that. But that parade starts at 9:45 downtown. It goes up and down Gervais Street. And so we're going to get out there and pass out tracts. We're going to meet here at 9 a.m. because that parade starts at 9:45, so we can get down there and do that. And we want to take a huge crowd down there. The bigger crowd we can get, the more tracts we can give out. And we want you to do that. We're about maybe 800 short of the goal for the year. So if we have a good crowd of 10, 15, 20 people go with us, then we can knock that 800 out like that, and the Lord will really bless that. Now, there's also the ladies are decorating for the church at 10 a.m. So maybe if you're not able to walk a lot, then that's a good thing for you to do, to be here at 10 a.m. on Saturday to decorate the church for Christmas. They're going to get this thing, they're going to do it transformed from fall to Christmas, and you'll enjoy that when you get here Sunday morning. But that'll be 10 a.m. this coming Saturday. So you got that? 9 o'clock is when we're meeting here to go out to downtown to go door knocking. Not door knocking. There's no doors down there. For our track giveaway, downtown meeting here at the church at 9, and then church decorating here at 10. All right, did I get all that right? All right, good. Now I got thumbs up. All right, now the just also coming up, the children's Christmas program. I got a hint of that yesterday, and you're going to want to be there for that. That's December 9th, the evening service. Be inviting your friends and family to come see that. And I, from what I can tell, if you come to that, you're going to get a special treat. All right, that's all I'll say. I saw a little bit of a practice. So make sure you're here for that on December 9th, the evening service. Then our cantata is on the 16th, which will be the evening service, and we want to get a big crowd in for that, and we're going to have a good time. And a couple Christmas parties coming up. Don't forget, on December 7th, so you got almost a couple weeks, is the ladies' Christmas party. And that's at my house at 6:30 on December 7th. That's a Friday evening. And then the church-wide Christmas party is the following Friday. That's December 14th. And that'll be up at North Springs Park. And that'll be at 7 o'clock that Friday. Now, all the ladies have meetings about that, so they should know what they're supposed to be doing. If you have any questions, though, see Miss Judy, I guess, would be the person to go see that if you have questions about either of those things. But all kinds of stuff coming up for Christmas. I hope you'll dive in, get involved, and all these things are for the glory of the Lord for this Christmas season. Okay, while you're turning to 381, let me remind you also that the Christmas cantata that Sunday night will be at 6 o'clock instead of 5:30. So we're changing the service time to 6 o'clock. Let's stand and sing the first and last stanzas, number 381. Then we'll sing the last. I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. For He's a wonderful Savior. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Dearer grows the love of Jesus day by day. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Sweeter is His grace while pressing on my way. Good singing.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's have the ushers come ahead. We'll take care of the offering this morning. Let me encourage you to be sure. In fact, real quickly, let me just ask this real fast, and we're going to do this quickly while we're getting ready. If you gave out any tracts this week, hold your hand up and tell us how many. All right, right here. We'll start. 5, 8. That's, I'm counting along. 5 and 3. I'm sorry. Did I mess you up? Brenda, 5. And Steve Todd, 3. And Dante, 4. Dante, 4. All right. She's trying to keep this. Who else? Oh, yes, ma'am. Pat Wright, 6. And Miss Edame, 4. Okay. Who else? All right. All right. Good. All right. Now, as you know, our track goal this year is 12,000 in hand. We were at 850 or thereabouts left for the month of December. We're not even in December, so we've actually made a pretty good lift over the last trip to the ball game last Saturday. But we've got, so now probably somewhere about 825, 830, something like that. So anyway, we can get enough people out Saturday to go down. And the good thing about working the parade is everybody's going to be stationary. When you go to a football game, everybody's moving, and you're trying to hand trash out to people that are moving. At the parade, everybody's going to be kind of standing still, waiting for the parade to go through. So no reason we can't reach our goal and surpass it Saturday. And so I hope you'll try to join us and go out and hand out trash. If not, be sure to get some. Hand them out this week. Every little bit helps, you know. And so, like I say, we're just, if we get to 10, if we get to 10 people to give out, what's that, 200 trash each? No. Eight. I get it right. My math is not that good. If we get 10 people to give out 80 trash, so that's 800. That'll be just about where we're at. So that's why we need you to come Saturday, go down to the parade and hand out the trash. I'm going to, South Carolina has another football game, and I've got a spot that I can work. And so I'm going there. It's a makeup game. You know, they got rained out with a hurricane, so they've got to, who was it again? Akron. I think it is the Zips. What a name, Zips. Anyway, when we went a couple weeks ago, I did this, I went around the stadium, and I realized the smart thing, because really, it's easier to give it to people when they're stationary. And it just so happens around the stadium, they have benches everywhere. And boy, those people will sit in them benches until game time. And so that's where I went last time. I gave out 132 tracts just on the benches. That didn't even include all the rest of the tailgating or whatever you call that. And so I'm going to go to the game. I'm not going to the game. I'm going to where the game is. And I'm going to hit those benches again. That's like if you have a real good fishing hole, that's my real good fishing hole right there. And so that's where I'm going to be headed Saturday for a couple hours. And, of course, all the tailgating going on, too. So I guarantee I give out 200 tracks just like that. And so that's what I'm going to try to do. So if we go over the goal, that's even better. But anyway, I want you to be sure and do that. So meet here at 9 o'clock so we can get loaded up and get down there and get to disperse along Gervais Street to really give those tracks out. And the best area probably right there in front of the State House where a lot of people sort of gather in a big bunch. So we'll be able to do that, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering. Now, this is the regular church offering. At the end of the service, we'll take a love offering for Brother Balon and his wife for being here with us today. The Hortons. And so, Brother Joaquin, you pray for the offering, please. Just before we introduce the speaker this morning, I've been pegged to sing, because I'm not preaching, I'm going to sing. But anyway, I hope the song will be a blessing. It's an old song everybody knows very well. George Beverly Shea made the song very popular during the early time of the Billy Graham Crusades. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus
than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you so much for playing for me. All right, well, just here, before I had Brother Horton come up, he has a little, about a five-minute video that they put together that we want to see quickly, and then he's going to come up and preach for us, and I think we've got everything all queued up and ready. Is that right, Brian? We've got to get the machine turned on. Got it? We got one of those old cranks, you got to crank it to get it to work, you know. We spared no expense. Okay, we get it on? All right. Well, you pay attention to the video, and then we'll have Little Horton come up for you.
Hello. I'd like to take a moment to introduce my parents, Dr. Malin and Audrey Horton, to you. They are the Far North representatives for Canada at Macedonia World Baptist Mission. My father was the foreman of Sun Valley Bold Farm in Myrtle Point, Oregon. It was during that time at a church service while hearing a missionary speak that the Lord started preparing his heart for the ministry. He was as active as he could be in the church and had a desire to do more, but there was no time after spending long hours at the farm. That night, the Lord seemed to say, "Come and work for me, and I will take care of you." During the week, he was reading in the Bible where God was dealing with Peter about becoming a fisher of men. Then he said, "Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men," in Luke chapter 5, verse 10. That verse seemed to stand out darker than all the rest, that the Lord wanted him to be a fisher of men. At this time, my dad was 32 years old, with four children and no money. But he knew that certainly God would take care of his needs, since he had called him to do his work. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells us, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And God has been faithful and has never let them down.
The year was 1965, and my parents were now celebrating 53 years in the gospel ministry.
Since that day, God has allowed them to be faithful in pastoring two churches and planting seven other churches in Oregon, Haiti, and Canada. Like the prophet Elijah, his time in the ministry is coming to an end, and he is looking for an Elisha to pick up his mantle and continue the ministry of pastoring and church planting in Canada.
Canada is a naturally beautiful country with over 39 million souls, land spreading from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic, and from the United States northern border to the northern tip of the world. As an example of the diversity of Canada, the GTA, or Greater Toronto Area, alone has over 2.8 million people with over 20 different ethnic origins and over 100 different languages spoken. Almost all of the famed 1040 window countries are represented here. Many missionaries will try in vain to reach these countries with their closed borders, and yet their people reside in a free country just to the north, and they too are still going unreached. Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism are some of the fastest growing religions in Canada. From coast to coast, over 250 independent Baptist churches are working day and night to reach this vast nation for Christ. With over 39 million Canadians to reach, that's one for every 156,000 souls. According to recent Canadian religious stats, only around 700,000 Canadians claim to be of the Baptist faith. The state of Georgia has over 10 million people with over 1,000 independent Baptist churches, giving them a one church to every 1,000 people ratio. Canada has a great need for the gospel. Alcoholism, suicide, teen pregnancies, and especially drug abuse are growing at a fast rate. And now even faster since Canada has legalized marijuana, thus making the fight so much harder. As the Bible tells us, the time is getting short and the night is coming when man can no longer labor for the master.
Currently, Macedonia World Baptist Mission has three church planting missionaries serving in Canada. The Handy family and the Campbell family are serving in Quebec, and the Horton family is serving in Ontario.
Macedonia also has several other Canadian church planters on deputation and furlough. Will you please pray about helping our team reach this vast nation for Christ? We need your prayers and financial support to complete this task that God has called us to do.
Come and share this with you today. There is such a need in Canada, as you notice there,
only 250 to 300 independent Baptist churches all across the country, and there's about 39 million Canadians. Not nearly as big as Canada, but it is far land-wise, but as far as population. And when you think of Georgia has somewhere around 1,000 independent Baptist churches, that's not fair. So we ask you to pray that God would send laborers up there to the north to reach Canadians. Maybe there's someone here today that would be, Lord, to speak to your heart about coming and sharing their gospel there in Canada. And so we'd ask you to pray about that, that God would speak to hearts and reach them. It's not an easy field. They're not excited about going to church, most of them. And so it takes time to reach them for Christ. And many Americans have come up during the years and the last two or three years and pack up and go home because things didn't go like what they had expected. So pray that when young men do come, that they'll stay by the stuff and keep on keeping on. The Lord saves by and by. And it's not a quick thing. And so the Lord allowed us to start two churches there in Canada, one in Chilliwack, British Columbia, and one in Kamloops, British Columbia. And we're, the last 4 or 5 years now, we're representing the mission trying to encourage young men to go there. So pray in that area too well. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28, and this passage is not new to you. And yet, we need to continually remember that. I'm glad to see you're giving out tracts to whenever opportunity comes. We need to use whatever means we can to reach the lost for Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll look to the Word this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being out today to share the Word by way of testimony and also now by way of preaching. That there will be something here that will touch someone's heart for Christ in a very special way, and we thank you for that. Pray to give the Word to speak now, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whichever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We need to preach the gospel, reach people for Christ, and then teach them as the Lord gave final instructions here. You know, mission is the lifeline of any church. A church that refuses to maintain an active mission program is forfeiting the right to expect the presence of Christ in that church, according to this emphatic statement that Jesus gave here, that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that hasn't changed, and that's not an option. God told us to do that, and if we're obedient to him, we will do all we can. Of course, we all can't go, we know that, as missionaries per se, but all of us can be a missionary here at home. We need people who are lost, and we need to reach them for Christ as well. I'd like to speak this morning on the four imperatives for missions. Number one, the gospel must be preached as souls are saved. Now, there are many religions of the world today, each having their own way to get to God. And in our town where we planted a church in Canada, in Kamloops, we had the Mormons, the JWs, the Christadelphians, the Buddhists, and whatever else, and also the Sikhs. These are the ones from the Golden Temple of India. I suppose you have some around here that wear turbans and carry the daggers and so on. And I noticed they had a Sikh temple in town when we moved in. And after a bit, I noticed them building another one. And I talked to one of the members. I said, what in the world are you building another temple for? Well, he said the conservatives want to sit on the floor like they do in India, and the liberals want to sit at table and chairs. So that's why they went. About as bad as Baptist, I guess. flimsy excuse to split and whatnot, but that's the way it is. And then we have the mainland churches there as well. Those are the ones that are growing because they have rock music or such as that or entertainment. We're not here to entertain people. The Bible is not an entertaining book. It's a serious book of teaching. Get people saved and teaching them how to live. The heathen in other lands have their method of worshiping a god. It may be a sun god, animal god, or something. Something else. When we were in Haiti, we were there 4 years as a missionary. And the main religion was Catholicism. And of course, a great many were all involved with voodoo. I'm sorry. Okay, I guess I did. I didn't see it there. I didn't pay attention. You know, Satan is happy to have people religious. We involve them that so that they will not come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 14 and 15. It says, and marvel not, or don't be surprised, for Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I'm sure you've all had J.W. has come to your home. They come as angels of light. We have the answer, they said, and they'll give you some scripture to prove it. Most generally, that is totally taken out of context. And it really doesn't prove what they're trying to prove. But they come as angels of light, warm in the same way. So we have to be careful. And I read some time ago that I believe it was Mormons, 45% of those who are Mormons were former Baptists. You know, something's wrong. They weren't listening, or it was just a formality to them to go to church, and the Mormons came along and wrapped them into their system. So we need to be the Word of God and study it so we know what it believes. And when this Satan the ministers come, we'll be aware of the truth and reject what they have to offer. The gospel must be preached because it is the only ordained way of God to employ his power to save. Paul said that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And so we have the power of God through the Word of God to bring people to Christ, whether it's a Jew or whether it's a Greek or whoever they are. One of Jesus said it was a narrow road. There's a broad road that leads to destruction, the Bible tells us in Matthew. And there's a narrow road that leads to life, but only few that find that road. And then Jesus also said in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say he was a way, like the J.W. tried to tell you. He is the one and only way that we can come to know Jesus Christ, because he's the one who gave his life on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin. So without the gospel, there is no way for man to be saved. The gospel tells us of God's great love for mankind. It tells us how he left heaven's glory and came into this sin-filled world just to pay for your sin and mine. You know, can we really fathom that? He would love us that much? to leave heaven's glory was to come in because he loved us in order to give us life. Over in Galatians chapter 1, Paul was talking to the people of Church of Galatia, 1 and verse 8, he said, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." That's pretty strong words. He said, if you come with any other gospel, you're under the curse of God. And I'm sure there are many churches across this great land of ours today are under the curse of God, because they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he emphasized that verse, also verse 9. He says, as we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There were those coming to the church trying to teach that they had to work for their salvation and whatnot. That's a false gospel. We do not work for it. It's a free gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We couldn't work enough to earn it, but we can receive that wonderful gift that Christ offered to us because of his death and burial and resurrection. There many hundred years ago. Romans chapter 14, or Romans chapter 10, praise the Bible tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I've had people tell me many times over the years in the ministry that, well, ask me that, "Do you mean to tell me that somebody out in the darkest jungle who never had the opportunity to hear the message of salvation would go to hell?" Yes, they would. They have to call in on him in order to be saved. He said, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall we be healed without a preacher?" So that's why we send out missionaries, as you're quite aware of, that they might be able to hear and respond to the message. But if they don't, then they will go to a crisis eternity, because they did not accept Christ as Savior and Lord. And number two, the men must surrender the call to preach if the gospel is to be carried to all the world. There must be those who will hear a personal call from God. Back in the book of Samuel, the Bible tells us that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he did not let none of the words fall to the ground. He was obedient to what he was told, and he did that as God told him. There are many, many today I've run onto who have been called of God and not doing anything about it. You know, that's a sad thing. And they'll answer to God one day. I talked to a young man in Dothan, Alabama. He said he was called to preach, and I said, "Well, are you making preparation for that?" "Well, no." I said, "Are you going to Bible school?" "No, I didn't think so." I said, "Well, what are you doing then?" And I said, "I would suggest to you that you at least get some Bible correspondence course to make preparation. Because when God calls us, he expects us to do something about it." And so I saw him about 6 months later, and being a nice fellow that I am, I said, "Well, what are you doing? Are you doing anything?" You know what he said? "I'm too busy." You know how sad that is? Just working a regular job, too busy to do what God called him to do. We spoke to a church in Cleveland, Ohio, in that area, and a young man who had, 6 months now, something like that. The Lord responded to the need of the ministry, and he's in ministry today in a church, a small church in that area, because he did what God said for him to do. The Matthew 4 and verse 19, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, he says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they dallied around for a while before they did. No, he said they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship, their father, and followed him. And you remember the story of Elijah was called of God to lay his mantle on Elisha. And he walked, Elisha was out of the field by. And in the 12th one, he was a rich young man. And Elijah placed the mantle on Elisha and kept walking by. And Elisha then killed the oxen that he was using and burned up the plowshare and provided a feast for all. He was going to serve God as God had requested. And the Bible tells us that he performed twice the miracles that Elisha did. But before he actually got into the prophetic ministry, the Bible says he poured water on the hands of Elijah for ten years. But he immediately began to do what God called him to do. And I see so many are not doing anything when God calls. One fellow, he just got married, and his mother-in-law said, well, you ought to stay around a year. And the Lord called him to the ministry. And so he did, and lo and behold, a child came along, and two or three of them more, and he's still not doing it. And it's a sad thing. I know when the Lord spoke to me about the ministry, we had four children. And so meeting in preparation, I was forming a gold farm in Oregon. We had 35 acres of flowers, and we picked a million daffodil blossoms when I was there in that year. And I was at a church service on a Sunday night, and the missionary spoke about leaving your work. The Lord asked him to leave his work and go to be a missionary in Pakistan, I believe it was. And the Lord just seemed to say, well, what else you? And so I was reading. I didn't go forward and whatnot. I mulled over what he was saying, and during the week I was reading and Luke chapter 5, where the Lord was working with Peter. They'd fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And I suppose Peter was somewhat depressed because that was their business and there was nothing in the nets. And he said, well, we fished all night, but haven't caught anything. He said, nevertheless, I'll let down the nets. And he did. And he got the greatest catch of his whole life. But then the Lord said, now I want you to be a fisher's man. And Peter responded and did so. And so I was reading that during the noon hour, and I knew that the Lord wanted me to be in ministry. But that verse stood out darker than all the rest. And I was a very shy fellow. And I wouldn't get in front of adults. I worked with young people and children and whatnot, but not adults. That was too much. So I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to do something about that. And in fact, I had a preacher. He said, if I ever get you to do something, I'll resign. And so he called me into speaking to someone very shortly on a Wednesday night, and he resigned the next Sunday. So I guess he thought his work was complete. In Acts chapter 13, he was turn there, please. The Bible gives us the pattern that we're to follow in as far as mission work. The Holy Spirit calls an individual, and the church sends them out to various parts of the world. So in here in Acts chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3, I'm sorry about Acts 13, verse 2, it says, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So this is a pattern today as well. An individual is called and they come to the church, and the church sends them out to whatever location that God has called them to do. And so we need to be obedient. That's always a blessing when a church has someone from their own congregation to go out to the foreign field or into the ministry. And then we must unite in full support of those who surrender the call of God on their lives. They must be upheld by their prayers. When things get tough on the field, we're so dependent on the prayers of God's people. Back in chapter 12 of Acts, it had an interesting portion of scripture here where Peter was in prison, and in verse 6 it said, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. You know, we don't see Peter there mourning and groaning about, well, I'm in prison, Lord, because I was preaching the gospel and whatnot. He was soundly asleep in the will of God for his life. He was content to where he was. And so much so that the angel had to give him a swat on the side to wake him up. Wake up, Peter. And the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw an vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the streets, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of his hand from all the expectations of the people of Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying, or the church was there praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. The damsel came to hear at her husband, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened up the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter is out there, just out on the porch. And look at the response. And they said, you're crazy. You're mad. He's not out there. And they opened. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they were astonished. Now, notice in verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing for the church of God unto him. But when God answered the prayer, they didn't believe it. Can't be Peter. Why, must be his angel then. And then finally, when they saw him, they were astonished. You know, isn't that like we pray sometimes? We really don't believe God's going to answer. They prayed, were praying as a group that God would deliver Peter from prison, but they didn't believe he would. And so may God help us to Believe. Pray. Believe in it, God will answer. And if we pray in the will of God, He will answer. And Job, anyway, Peter was delivered. And what a joyous reunion that was. Now, when we were in Haiti for 4 years, it wasn't feeding. We sued for $200,000 on false charges or to be turned over to the government because of lies, nor have come to the church to order us to keep us from, with a court order, keep us in custody for 6 months. We couldn't arrest them. We tried. When they got real sticky, we got a letter from somebody in the States saying that such and such a time the Lord burdened them to pray for us. And it was just when we had it, looking back, we saw it was just when we had it committed to need. You know what that does for missionaries? What a thrill it was to know that God's concerned about us in this time of trouble and turmoil. To the place that He delivered us from that. And answer the prayer of this dear one in the States. You might say, well, what was I sued for? Well, we went out on the church property on a Saturday afternoon and supposedly we disturbed a Bible class. And so they were this preacher and this other fellow, the lawyer, filed a criminal suit that we disturbed the peace. And so we went to court. And then the preacher hired his girlfriend to swear that I had slapped a Haitian lady in the face, so he upped the ante to $200,000. Now we're in a foreign country and in court, and how are you going to prove something like that? There was no way that we could prove. And so we, they wanted me to get up and give my spiel, and I said, I'll only speak to an interpreter. And this is the head court in Haiti. They squandered the money. They didn't have money enough to hire an interpreter. So this went on for about 3 weeks, and finally they had enough to hire an interpreter. And so I was just about ready to get up, but my lawyer told the judge, well, Judge, the other lawyer can't practice law now because he has a government job. The laws of Haiti says if you have a government job, then you can't practice law. And so he threw it out of court. And about 2 weeks later, this other judge, because of his big mouth, he lost his job as an anchorman on public TV. But I was cleared already, so everything was fine. You know, it's amazing how God could work. I couldn't have got out of my side, but He was able. And I told my lawyer, if my 4 years are up and I need to go back and parole. He said, well, it's just as well because there's 13 other lawsuits against you. When they officially initiate those, they'll lock you out. And it might take a year to investigate. So we quietly left the cold, hot country and went up to cold country in Canada. So we've been up there since 1982, serving Canada. So, you know, God's so good. Even when things don't go as we think it ought to go, He's still good. We have a great God to serve and honor. And so we're not to get down in the dumps and complain and groan about the situation we're in. Because God knows what it is. He's allowed it for our, to make something out of us. The Bible says to make us, to grow in His love and bring glory to our Heavenly Father. So may God help us to respond right when things come in our lives to bring honor and glory to Him. So there are two things the church can do, and one is to send out missionaries and then to support them, and you will gain share in the benefits or blessings with that missionary as you support them along the way. And then lastly, we must do quickly as the days are nearing the coming of the Lord. You know, lifespan is so short. We're only here a little while, and then we're gone. And back in James chapter 4, it tells us this. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It's even a vapor. That appears for a moment, and then vanishes away. We planted a church in Rainier, Oregon, back in 1967, I guess, something like that. And they built a nuclear power plant just outside of town. And when that was operating, the billow of steam would just billow out of that. And you know, it didn't go very far, and it was gone. And God says, our life is like that. I had lots of vapor of life when I was younger. It's getting pretty thin now. And soon it'll be gone. And maybe you will as well. What are we doing for God while we're here? It's been 50-some years since we've been in the ministry, and time's running out. Can't start any more churches. I'm too old and don't have the ambition. I've had six heart, wife had heart surgery, and I have prostate cancer and diabetes and aneurysm and my aorta and glaucoma in both eyes, and I guess that's about it. But other than that, I'm in good shape. But we want to be busy serving the Lord as long as He allows us. Because one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and you will stand before the Lord and give account for the life that you've lived. It's not a game we're playing. It's serious business. Because the Bible says in John that my little children abide in Him, that you'll not be ashamed that He's coming. Oh, what a day that'll be to be with Him, but how serious it'll be as we stand before Him and give account for the life that we've lived. May God help us to be faithful day in and day out, because He's coming soon. The force of evil is gaining strength in at a rapid pace, because the Church of America is going down the tube. First, 2 Peter 3, 1 through 5 gives us a picture of what we like in the last days, and it certainly portrays what we see today. The last 10 to 20 years, there's been a tremendous increase in crime, decline in morality, immorality in the church, as well as out of the church. A TV is full of filth, divorce is rampant, even in Christian circles, as much as inside the church and outside. I read the other day where I think it was up in the 60% of men in the church are involved in pornography. Oh my, we're going to give account. Men, be straight with God, and women as well. Babies are murdered by the thousands. Planned Parenthood last year, I think, killed 345,000 babies, and that's just Planned Parenthood. God's going to judge America someday for the killing of innocent little ones. In the Old Testament, they offered their babies to God, Moloch, and whatnot. We think that's terrible. That's no more terrible than what's done today. So we're heading up to the coming of the Lord in so little time, and so much to do. John wrote in the book of Revelation in 22, verse 12, he said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. And so have we lived our Christian life, he's going to bring a reward for that according to what we have done. And so with the patience of God, you'll be rewarded in a marvelous way. What a joy it will be for us who know him as our Savior and Lord when he comes. But what a tragedy for those who do not know him. And what a challenge it is for believers to be about the master's business while there's yet time. In view of these facts, it's imperative that we redouble our efforts in sending them to preach the gospel to the four corners of the earth. This is our great challenge. This is our purpose for existing as a church and as individual believers. To fail a challenge is to fail the Lord. How about it today? Will you accept the challenge to be about the master's business? Maybe there's someone here who never accepted Christ. I challenge you to trust him. You'll have joy and peace that you cannot imagine. And the promise of life eternal with our Savior. And may God help us as believers to be faithful and until Jesus comes. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we thank you for the instruction you give us and the promise that we'll have as we stand before you one day of rewards for faithful living. Forgive us when we failed you, and may you continue to bless our lives in a marvelous way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing a verse or two of Have Thine Own Way, 155. If you need the words, sing together. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, you move and sue. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold all my being.